morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this wonderful Wednesday. Oh, I want to give a shout out to Butch Craig, Uncle Butch as we know him. He is a wonderful man and like another dad to me, and he is in retirement, having a wonderful sale in Albany, Oregon. He's been a mechanic in the Albany area for many years. Those of you listening from Albany might know him. My dad is in town helping them, and they're doing a sale at their farm, closing down the mechanic shop and retiring. And I want to say congratulations to Uncle Butch, and I'm hoping they're listening this morning. I know they listened yesterday, and looking forward to spending some time with you and getting some time with my dad as well before he flies back to South Dakota tomorrow. And it's so fun, you know, here in Oregon, there's so many fond memories of growing up here. And as I drive around, even last night, we went and watched the debate with our friend Josh last night at his place, and he lives off Kubler over by kind of Sprague High School. And driving around that area, so many memories of growing up and driving my 74 Nova around those hills in the Kubler area. And I am so proud to say that I'm from Oregon, and yet when I'm traveling around the country, people are like, "You're from Oregon? You know, what's going on in Oregon?" And it's interesting. I found it interesting last night, friends, as you maybe you watched the debate. Certainly I did, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But as I was sitting there going, wow, how many times do they refer to what's going on in Portland during the debate, and how many times Oregon, and how the policies and the struggle, you know, we're living it out right here in Oregon every single day, and we're feeling the effect of the decisions made by liberal policies. And I'm thinking, come on, we need some hope, and we need some encouragement for the conservatives out there who are wanting to come together and do something different. And I think when I think about the election the last go around, I think the thing that was surprising about a Trump election was he was so outside of the political swamp. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. And he comes from it from a perspective of, we got business to do, let's get it done, right? Let's just do this thing. And in business, it's not about necessarily winning public opinion. It's about doing what's right for the business. And I think that that kind of personality and that Northeastern personality and that tough guy, New Yorker personality tends to rub so many people the wrong way. And so as I think about last night and I go into that debate, I was so hoping from the president that I've supported, the president that I believe has been most effective in the things that matter to me, standing up for life, standing up for religious liberty, standing up for our Constitution, nominating a Supreme Court judge that is lines right up, who is not only a scholar, a mother, a wife, a good leader, and a good judge. All of those things my president has done, I kind of hoped for a debate last night, I'll be real honest, of a man who would reach out to the non-affiliated voter and say, hey, I am going to bat for you. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that actually happened last night. I think he was in such a defensive position. Maybe he's tired and worn out, whatever, you know, from a helicopter view. But I was disappointed that it became more of a playground battle and an argument back and forth, or a spat between a husband and a wife, something. It was very undermining, and I was very frustrated because I think there was nothing of real substance. That we never really got deep. It was more this spatting back and forth. Anyway, I don't know how you're feeling about it, and I think at the end of this hour we'll take some feedback and some questions. But in the studio with me, I'm excited to bring in, because I think he'll just join right in with me and give me some perspective on his thought. I've got Dave Smith with me this morning, and Dave, thank you first and foremost to you and Paige for being a sponsor of the morning show, and thank you for being a community member that rolled up your sleeve during the wildfires. Thank you for what you do here with your real estate business, helping individuals in that transition. We'll get into into that like the last half an hour, but I want to talk a little bit about last night and get your fresh analysis of what you saw. Am I wrong in thinking that I wanted a little more from our president last night? Am I kind of spot on, do you think?
I agree with you completely. I think the winner last night of the debate was definitely everybody's mom, who sat there and watched kids bicker back and forth. Everyone appreciates their mom a little bit more today. Mm-hmm. It was disappointing to see both candidates go about it the way they did. I think the content was refreshing at certain points, and some of the things that were brought up were beneficial for people to see that you don't really see on the media sometimes. It was really direct, and you got to see from both candidates' mouths kind of their opinions on things. But I think the decorum of it was no one gained voters last night. I think both sides lost voters, and they lost key voters. I think the undecided folks are still undecided. I don't think anybody who was undecided has changed their mind. But if you just look at the topics that people care about based off of social media and Instagram today, Twitter, everything's buzzing about mostly the race issue, and then Chris Wallace, the moderator. That's the two things that seem to be the hot buttons today.
Well, and talking about Chris Wallace, absolutely disappointed in his ability to stay non-biased and stay as a moderator that would keep things flowing. And I understand, I mean, it's like trying to, you know, keep two bears separated, I mean, in a sense, and I appreciate his role. But I feel like his questioning, his line of questioning, the amount of times he tried to tame Trump but not Biden. I mean, obviously he was exposed last night, and I think it's time for him to retire personally. I'm sure, you know, he's reevaluating where he's at as far as a moderator for sure. But it was on all of them, and I think at one point Trump said, "Hey, I'm debating you both," or something, and I tend to agree with that, and I do think there was so many missed opportunities. Now, where do we go from here? You know, certainly all my friends on the left, they were just affirming that Trump's a bully and all of those things, and of course you see this on social media, but my concern is looking at Vice President Biden and now going for president. My concern is his capability. His blank looks and stares and his lack of answering the question and stating things that weren't accurate and maybe lies and switching the conversation and things. It was troubling. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to put myself in Trump's shoes. If you have someone over there constantly spewing lies, you know, that would, I've been in those situations before where you're over here and you're like, that's not true. That's not true. You know, and in even talking to the TV last night during the debate, I'm like, I can't stay quiet, you know. So where do we go from here? Where do you think, Dave? I mean, what do we do?
I think both candidates need to sit back and reapproach the next debate. They need that next debate needs to have a stronger moderator, someone who's will keep things. I mean, 2 minutes is a difficult time. I mean, when you have the division we have in our country right now, mm-hmm. you have these hot button issues, you have major problems that we're dealing with. You can't have someone who we want to elect that's passionate, that has a big plan. You can't do that in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then to have one candidate, no matter who goes first, if you're going to have 2 minutes and then you're going to go next, to not take at least 1 minute of your 2 minutes to address the falsehoods or the things you disagree with the other person's point of view, and then just to have a minute for yours, it's a recipe for disaster. I think that's what we saw last night, was a breakdown in structure of the debate. I mean, we obviously need some revisions there to let both candidates, because if I'm watching a debate, I want to see Trump at Trump's best. Mm-hmm. I want to see Trump have time to explain and point out his resume, which is extremely strong in a lot of these hot button issues. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Biden talk. I mean, Trump, his big strategy should have been talk for 30 minutes, let Biden talk for 60, mm-hmm. because he would have had a chance to expose the thing that everybody sees is Biden's mental decline, not as any sort of personal insult towards Biden, but he needs some sort of help, and they would have had a chance to expose that, and that would have helped both campaigns probably a little bit. But like I said, the goal last night was to find those undecided voters, those middle-of-the-road folks, and show them why Trump's resume fits, and Biden should have taken the opportunity to show them why he's the antithesis to that, which is all he's running on, and both of them missed the mark.
Well, and when we think about just letting Biden talk, the time towards the end where he was just babbling he wasn't even really making a lot of sense. And then he tried to bring out numbers, and he's like, well, no, it's this.
You know? 200 million, 10,000.
Yeah, and then a couple times. And I think the strategy early on might have been just to make him mad and get him flustered. Maybe that was Trump's strategy or his team's strategy. In my mind, having watched him with Hillary, you know, there were some similarities where Hillary would make those faces, and it was very, it threw off people. They did not like her demeanor during, you know, Biden was very much like that too, you know, very, and then his name calling, which oftentimes Trump, you know, he's called names and he's done things out. That's kind of his thing. So to see Biden do that and Trump kind of stand strong not doing that, I was appalled. You know, that you would tell someone to shut up, and that you would call someone a clown not once but twice, you know, and then how his demeanor was, both of them should go stand in the corner. Talking about the mom thing, you know, and let's reevaluate. I want to see the facts, man. I want to see what your plan is. What are you going to do about that? And one thing I do think that came out last night, and if anybody, and I think of our college age Bernie Bros types that was hoping Biden would jump on the Bernie Bro train last night, they would be in disarray, because one thing Trump did get him to say was that, no, I'm not for those things, you know. And then the other thing that I thought was interesting that Chris Wallace did was Chris got, he just called out Biden and said, have you made a direct call to the governor of Oregon and the mayor of Portland and said, as the Democratic leader, because remember earlier he said, I'm the Democratic leader and I'm my own guy, you know. And his answer was, well, I'm not elected. Okay, well, but you're the Democratic leader. You're the party leader right now. You need to control your party. You know, you need to have some. So if you can't do it now as a Democratic leader, what can you do as a president? Was my thought. So what did you think of that?
Well, the 47 years he's been elected didn't make a bit of difference either.
No.
So that's the part where the best one-liner I think Trump got out was, I've been doing this for 47 months and accomplished more than you did in 47 years.
Oh, amen.
And that's the facts and the accomplishments are what Trump should have stuck with, because he's got a long list of them. And that's the thing that the media paints him out as a bully, and he oftentimes takes on that role. And last night he emphasized that big time, and he had the chance to stick to the facts, and he had a national audience. He had the stage, no spin. He could have just stuck to the facts and pointed out the facts and had a much more successful outing. And then Biden would have tried to do, and they would have done the spin zone for Biden, but that would have been a lot harder to do if Trump just stuck to the facts. Because Trump, like I said, the big item today has been race.
Yes.
Trump has, in 47 years that Biden's been, he's done nothing to benefit that. He's done more bills, more things to hurt that community than anybody else, arguably.
I agree, and I do think there's more that we can be discussing on this, and I'm interested. We're going to open up the lines a little bit later this morning. That studio line's 503-589-1220. I'm interested in your take on it and your thoughts on what should happen next in the next debate. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday and every day. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. We're going to continue to see warm weather this week. Temperatures in the 80s, overnight lows in the 50s. Great time to open up the windows, although I do hear that there's some smoke, smog-ish The index has gone up a little bit. It's about 46-ish or so. Nothing like the 600s that we had a couple of weeks ago. But we are going to experience some warm weather the next few days, which I like. I like it when it's in the 80s and the 70s. I think that's just prime. Doesn't look like there's some clouds towards the weekend. I don't see any really rain in the forecast. So if you're planning on doing something fun again outdoors this next weekend, of course, we're just one day away, right, from the 1st of October. Oh my goodness. I so love fall, and I'm enjoying watching the trees in our neighborhood change, and I love it when it's so vibrant here in Oregon. Looking forward to that in the couple weeks. Will be, I don't even know, do you know the date, Dave, when time changes again? That's in November, right? I think
I believe
maybe
so.
Before the election, and it's always a transition, but it's so different this fall, and maybe you're feeling it. For me, I know I don't have kids anymore in high school, but you know, I was kind of looking forward to coming back to Salem and hitting some of my old alma mater football games there at Sprague High School, and it's just sad. I'm sad about that.
Yeah.
I'm sad, and even some of the college games and things, you know, that's so part of who we are in Oregon, going to an OSU or U of O football game, and all of that is just so weird for me in a fall season. And I'm sure some of you are, maybe that's not an issue for you, but it is for me. And we are still contending with this COVID and all of the regulations. Of course, you know, we're still on lockdown through November 3rd, and it's a season for sure. And now we're looking at this election, and I want to remind folks that you need to get registered to vote. I believe it's by the 13th of October. You need to make sure you're registered to vote. And then when you get your ballot, so many of us are actually making sure we don't mail them back. We're handing them to our county clerk, mm-hmm. getting them in right away so that they can start that process. And, of course, part of the discussion last night, the debate last night, got into the whole mail-in ballots. And even yesterday, there was more discovery of fraud and accusation that coming out of Minnesota. So there's all kinds of things all over the country in this whole mail-in. And even last night, they both addressed that, you know, we probably won't know on November 3rd what the results are. And that's troubling to me. And then that throws it into the Supreme Court discussion, which is really important, that we have 9 justices, mm-hmm. and why we need to get confirmation of our Supreme Court nominee. And I thought it was telling last night. I'm interested, Dave, to hear your thoughts on this. But when they tried to get, you know, through their bickering back and forth and not using the system, you know, there was a guideline last night, although it was really muddled. But Trump got him to talk about a little bit about, will you pack the court? Will you, you know, do these things? Do you support this nominee? You know, those kinds of things. What was your thought on that?
I think that's a big hot button issue that I think is being really misconstrued.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution says he's supposed to, same thing Obama did. I mean, Obama said the same thing Trump's saying. It's my job to appoint, and it's the Senate's job to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the Senate, that's like the phrase, elections have consequences.
Yes.
That's the truth. Trump mentioned that, and that's been a saying for a long time. Trump's president till January 19th, and that's the, if he doesn't win the reelection.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have people saying he should wait and stuff like that, Bader Ginsburg, her last request is irrelevant in regards to the Constitution.
Right.
It's Trump's job to nominate. If the Senate doesn't confirm, then the Senate doesn't confirm, and we move on.
Right.
But when you don't have the Senate, and that's the situation that Obama had back in 2016, he didn't have the Senate support, and he didn't get his nominee through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have to look at. It's political, but just calling it political makes it sound like it's divisive. And it's not divisive. It's constitutional.
Right.
And that's where people need to understand politics and calling things political implies a level of division and a level of opinion and a choice when there's not. The Constitution is very clear in this respect, at least. And I know there's lots of places where we have amendments for a reason because there was hazy spots.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not. And to say they're going to pack the court and things like that, you don't want to have 10 because you have ties.
Right.
And you can't have that. And that's where the only reason they want to do that is to cover in case something else happens.
Mm-hmm.
So changing the rules to fit the wants and needs of a party, I don't agree
with.
It's troubling.
And the interesting thing most people don't know, several years ago, I had an opportunity about 15, 20 years ago to get involved in elections. And people do intense, for marketing too, mm-hmm. but for politics, they do focus groups. and this has been focus grouped out.
Hard.
Excuse me. They have, they know the trigger words that move people.
Well, they tested that they're in the Ukraine and Russia investigation and things like that. Mm-hmm. They were doing focus groups in Congress and in the Senate to find out which trigger words and which phrases and things like that they would use that would mm-hmm. give them the best chance to offset Trump. And that's when you combine business and politics that way and take that kind of marketing aspect to politics, that's when you start to get people turned away from the whole process in general.
What do you think of this Supreme Court nominee? Tell me your thoughts on her.
I think she's a good constitutional candidate. She's not my favorite pick, the ones that he had nominated. I'm a research guy, so I research them all a lot. Mm-hmm. The cases that she's presided over, she's definitely stuck with constitutional mm-hmm. things often. The biggest concern I have lately in some of her rulings, she sided with the states a lot more during the COVID shutdowns and things like that. And there were some constitutional things there I didn't agree with. But again, I didn't go to law school as long as she did, and the academic background that she has with constitutional studies. But that was my take. But she's a good candidate. She's stated several times, which I thought would appease more of the centralist leftist ideology that, and even a lot of her cohorts have said the same thing, where even though she's religious and she's publicly religious and Catholic, but she does not put that above her position. She understands mm-hmm. that's her faith. That's how she's going to raise her family.
Right.
But as far as dictating how other people raise theirs, she's very constitutional. And that's something that I respect. I mean, I'm religious, but I want to see people in that capacity ruling the country based off of our founding document.
Yes.
And she seems very dedicated to that. And I think that's something that the reason, you know, Joe Biden had the opportunity to poke holes in her nomination, and he didn't last night. And I think he would have if she had those kind of things to do.
Well, and the other thing that came out about her that was a fact check last night, Biden tried to say that she was against, or has said that she's against, the Affordable Care Act, or that it was unconstitutional, and she has not.
Correct.
So that was an outright lie mm-hmm. on Biden's part. We're discussing the debate last night and other things this morning. So glad to have Dave Smith in the studio live with me this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Wednesday. We're going to open up the phone lines in the last segment. You can give us a call, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you. Together on this Wednesday. It's so much fun to be live in the studio once more. Dave Smith in the studio with me, and so glad to have your analysis. And we were just talking, you know, here in the Salem area, it's been interesting to learn that about 30% of our community is Hispanic. And, you know, there is, as we move forward with plans, we had Danielle Bethel yesterday in, and she's Salem Kaiser School Board. She's on the Kaiser, you know, she's a director of the Kaiser Chamber, and she's running for commissioner. And when we're looking at local races and local seats, it's important that we look at all of the community. And now we've been talking all morning about the national debate last night, and it seems like, unfortunately, the thing that people are spreading more and more and more is just the whole race card thing. And it's too bad that President Trump didn't come back and say, this is my plan, this is what I've released. And you were just kind of going through it with me a little, Dave, of some great strategy that Trump and his administration has to help the Black community and those the people of color, that they can have access to capital mm-hmm. to build their own business, become entrepreneurs, get education. Talk to us a little bit about that.
There's or it's not really talked about much, and I don't know why. The Platinum Plan, it's a thing that he put out just about a week ago. It helps mostly focused on the black community and helping them with investments, helping cover some racial disparity that we've seen systemically. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite to the level that you see with some of the more radical left, but it still addresses the things that are true, the things that we do need to correct as a country and society. And it addresses that. And that's where a lot of people's complaints today are, he's racist. A lot of people's complaints about the conservative movement as a whole is that they've disenfranchised a whole group of people, and that's not true. And with his plan that he put out, take a step back. In real estate, one of the biggest things I hear in stopping people from building wealth, because real estate's how you build wealth, mm-hmm. Through investments in flips, investments in rentals, building, you know, getting their own investment for home, the biggest thing you run into oftentimes is a lack of capital. Mm-hmm. So what the Platinum Plan has done is it's categorized it in different ways and spread it out a little bit, but in total, there's over $500 billion, with a B, set aside for access capital for the black community across the nation, in areas for jobs, in capital for feeling access to capital for black-owned businesses, for justice reform, for a education that they have the right to choose education. So a lot of times you hear about, you know, communities not having great access to high-level education. It gives them some school choice. And then on top of that, you have some healthcare changes that offer more opportunity to people and change the costs a little bit. So when you take that kind of money, I mean, you see a lot of talk about race and a lot of talk about, you know, doing things, and you don't see a lot of action for it. Mm-hmm. Especially in the left side of the party debate last night, Biden spent a lot of time talking about race, ignoring the fact that the crime bill that he, you know, I wrote the damn thing is what he said. Mm-hmm. Ignoring the fact that he attended a KKK Robert Byrd mm-hmm. from West Virginia, his funeral, and spoke at that. They ignore all those things and try and get these little nuances of, you know, Trump has said hundreds of times, and there's videos of it, denouncing white supremacy. No one supports white supremacy. White supremacy is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. And white nationalism, all that kind of stuff. Those are bad things, and those are acknowledged to be bad things. Well, Trump actually took a step further, and I didn't know this, actually. Up until last week, the KKK was not a national terrorist organization. So now that's in place. So he's not only denounced them, but he's also made them a terrorist organization, which they should be. So all these things that you see happening are the opposite of what they're telling you is happening. And that's where I think when you look at his plan, that's where he missed so many opportunities last night in the debate to actually talk about the substance of his actions. Mm-hmm. The whole debate and the both of them getting triggered last night, and then just the argument and the lack of decorum was, I think, the distraction. And I think he would have been better served. And as a movement in general, the conservative movement, I'll say the new conservative movement, mm-hmm. would have been better served to have to stick to the facts. So there's a resume there that can't be compared to any president prior to. For when you look at it from just minorities in general, whether it's the LGBTQ community, whether it's the black community, the Hispanic community, mentioned Salem has mm-hmm. 30%. He's done so much for these different communities that have been the talking point of debates for the last 30 years.
Right.
That have been used for leverage in debates for the last 30 years.
And done nothing with it.
And done nothing. Mm-hmm. They're a tool that are used during the debates and during the election cycles that's unfair to those communities because they're promised these things and these things don't happen. So now you actually have these things happening and you have people sitting there pointing at him, calling him racist. And
it's just bizarre. And I kept thinking in my media training, in my politics in the background, is a lot of times they'll say, you know, when you're asked a question, you know, you have your talking points, stick to your talking points. And no matter what the question is, or they try to divert you from it, you stick to your talking points, you stick to your mm-hmm. plan. And part of me last night was thinking, you know, if he would have just stuck to his, and then look at my record, it's at www.trumpforpresident.com or whatever, you know, that if he could have just kind of repeated that and just get it enough that people go do the research, look at the facts, you know, and instead of getting into this bickering part, that was really frustrating. I want to transition a little bit, and I know we've got someone waiting on the phone line, but I want to ask you some questions about the real estate market mm-hmm. right now. I mean, there's some questions people are having right now. Do I wait? Do I purchase? Do I transition? Now the interest rates are incredible. I know so many people right now that are in the process of buying a home, are looking to change or get a different home, which is hard to do, by the way. People that are looking to move into the area, move out of the area, all of those things. Talk to us a little bit what we're seeing in the market.
With the election, a lot of times people hold off, and that we've seen a little bit of that right now. And I think anyone who was holding off for the politics last night didn't make things any easier. But right now is a great time to buy. Interest rates are historically low. The affordability of what you can purchase and, you know, those things are much higher than they have been in the past. So there's a great opportunity there for buyers. The inventory level is also extremely low. You're seeing bidding wars across the board at price points you didn't typically see them at in the past. And I think that creates opportunity for sellers. But right now, sellers, because of the lack of inventory, you don't have as many sellers stepping out. But as a seller, it would be a great time to come out because you're getting buyers who can afford your home that couldn't previously, and you have an inventory level that I haven't seen something like this since I've been in the industry this low. So it's a great chance for sellers to get top dollar and then also be able to buy something with a low interest rate. When if you wait until, you know, not as like a, you know, hurry and buy now thing, but if you wait till after the election, you don't know. Regardless of who wins, Oregon is in a very unique scenario as a real estate, in the real estate world. We've got supply that I would say we're insulated to, where with the supply levels that we have, the amount of buyers that we have, the turnarounds that we have, the price, all those things combined, we have a longer shelf life than other states do. If anything changes economically or administrations change, anything like that, I think regardless of that, we're going to be fine here in Oregon. It's going to create a lot of opportunities for people. But those of us who are have fixed incomes or are monthly budget dependent, you obviously want to look at those interest rates. And that's the big difference now, where we're telling a lot of our clients go now as opposed to waiting till after the election. I get the uncertainty and things like that. But the opportunity when you're budget focused, a 1% difference in interest rate, if it jumps, you know, when Trump first got elected, I remember seeing the rates jumped on a 0.75 point or something like that the next week. So you're going to have, with these conflicts, with the things that happen, you're going to have the interest rates change after the election or during the election figuring out process, however long it takes. So I think people need to take advantage of the opportunity, put their home on the market, get top dollar for it, and then also buy while interest rates are low.
Right. So if you're renting and been renting and you're like, well, I want to wait until after the election to, you know, to see if I want to buy, I'm not going to buy right now, I'm not even going to start the process, I would encourage folks to start that process. Get pre-qualified, right? They should go and get, pull out their taxes, their, you know, to get, go to a lender. There's lots of, way more than 30 years ago when I bought my first house, there's lots of mortgage opportunities, not just through your traditional banks, but there's, they'll work with you in your situation, right? And you want to take advantage of these wonderful programs, right, to get people into homes and
there's
things.
There's a lot of programs that didn't exist before, from people, from credit score issues to debt to income ratio issues. There's all these different programs. There's even down payment assistance programs now that didn't exist in years before. So there's a lot more opportunity for people to get access to properties that they didn't have access to before, no matter if they're first-time home buyers or they're buying their fifth home and trying to downsize. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in that respect that benefit, you know, potential buyers and people looking to make a transition. And it's a good time for a transition right now.
You have a website. What is your website?
HomeSearchOregon.com.
HomeSearchOregon.com. So if you're just curious and you want to know about what the process is, and maybe you're thinking about downsizing, maybe you're thinking about leaving the area. I mean, I've heard folks that are like, I'm out of here.
We have a lot of clients doing that.
Yeah, no matter what the, you know, there's demand for the property that you have. So if you're thinking about that transition and that move, you know, get a hold of Dave and Paige. They'd love to walk you through that, right?
Yeah.
And the information and the resources, and you're doing some cool things as far as marketing of a home. I've watched some of your online things. There's all kinds of tools. There's all kinds of media tools and things to help promote your property. But like you said, it's really, they're going so fast and there's bidding wars and stuff. So it's not your traditional, let's have an open house and maybe it's on the market for 3 months before. No, that's not what's happening.
And strategy plays a big part of that. Just putting it on the market and getting multiple offers, those are things that are common now. But to tailor those offers specifically to your needs, to where you're not feeling rushed, to where you have time to go look for a replacement home instead of feeling like you're under, you know, you're rushed, or you have to settle. That's a big thing we hear a lot of the times. There's opportunity in this market with the level of competitiveness to tailor offers specifically to your wants and needs, so you can go to your next step on your schedule.
I love it. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Dave Smith in the studio with me. We're talking real estate. We're talking politics. We're talking about real life up close. Opening up the lines after this, 503-589-1220. October 1st, not only is it a new month, a new day, but it's also when we go 2 hours. Yes, indeed. The show, the Good Morning Salem show, will go to 2 hours, and I'm looking forward to that. It'll be fun to stretch a little bit and go into that second hour, but I am looking forward to it because I think we're going to open up the phone lines more and have more interaction with listeners. And so that's something that we're looking forward to. Also, we're in the middle of, you may remember me talking about this yesterday and a couple of weeks ago as well. We're in the middle of 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com/Salem. They're having a prayer vigil from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. outside of Planned Parenthood up through November 1st. So I encourage you to get involved with 40 Days for Life. And the Life Chain is coming to town on Sunday, October 4th, Life Chain from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. And they're going to have three of them. They're going to have one at Lancaster Drive, Broadway and Liberty, and then First Street and Staten. People Church, Salem Evangelical Church, and Calvary Lutheran Church, they'll be giving out signs. It's an annual peaceful pro-life witness. Signs available starting at 1:30 p.m. And their whole purpose is to speak for those who can't speak, Proverbs 31:8. And so lots of opportunity to get involved, roll up your sleeves. Of course, I'm encouraging you to help and assist. And in campaigns, there's lots of good candidates running who need help. They need our time, treasure, and talent. So I encourage you to volunteer, get involved, get your neighbors and friends to register to vote, help them get the information they need. Right around the corner, we'll be getting our voter guides. Everything yesterday, according to the Secretary of State, I poked around there, you know, that you can register to vote there. You can also find out about the candidates. You can learn about the different parties, and all that information is at the Secretary of State at Oregon.gov. And so as we continue the discussion this morning, Dave, it's interesting, you know, we talked about Salem and the Willamette Valley and what we have as far as our, you know, the diversity of the population here and the growth. And certainly from when I was in high school, there was a Hispanic influence in this area, but it's really grown. And I'm so impressed with many, many Hispanics who are business owners and who are taking risk and moving ahead with community leadership and things like that. I'm very excited about that. And you and I were talking, there's a whole long list of things that President Trump has done for the Hispanic culture and community. Talk to us a little bit about what you discovered.
So just in having a lot of, like you mentioned, Salem, a lot of our community mm-hmm. is Hispanic, so we run into those kind of conversations just through political debates and through our business, which leads to political debates sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we talk about, and I looked into a lot of things that would benefit that community that the current administration's doing. So some things that go often unnoticed and unmentioned are the record low Hispanic poverty rate. The median income for Latino households has gone up historically. There was an executive order that provided more education and economic opportunities that specifically benefit those communities. Mm-hmm. The Latino-owned businesses that have gone up due to some economic changes that they've done through this administration. Since 2016, over 1 million Latino workers have entered the workforce. Mm-hmm. All those things that we see locally are happening across the country
right.
on a larger scale, mm-hmm. and it gives more opportunity for those communities that I think oftentimes goes missed. We focus a lot on what's happening with the Black community and some division there, but we don't really talk about one of the fastest growing groups of people in our community. And on top of that, there's with the pathway to citizenship with DACA, there's some sex trafficking, which affects that community a lot, especially on some of our southern borders. Those communities are drastically affected. There's been more things done with that than you've seen with any other president, any other administration. They've also awarded more than $35 million in Justice Department grants to nonprofit organizations. Over 70% of the Hispanic and Latino community are Christians, and Trump has defended religious freedoms in that sanctuary life. So there's a lot of things that when you look into, and I have some more information I'm putting together for to share with some
people. Share that with me, because I'd like to put that on our Facebook page. We're opening up the lines, 503-589-1220 on the line this morning. Good morning. Welcome to the conversation. Thank you for waiting. Who are we talking with this morning?
Hello, are you talking to me?
I certainly am. Is this Ray?
Yes, it is.
Good morning to you. Thank you for joining
the
conversation.
Good morning to you, and I don't want to interrupt your the train of your discussion, but I've just observed that in the discussion of like the Supreme Court appointment and political discussions, largely ignored is our national charter, which is not the Constitution. The Constitution is usually the topic of discussion. But our national charter is actually the declaration of our existence, commonly called the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
And the principles of our nation are in the declaration. The operations manual or bylaws is the Constitution. And I know why those on the left don't refer to the declaration. It refers too much to God. But the principles that it's based upon is the laws of nature and nature's God, and the right to life is stated. We humans have a right to life, and that's ignored in the conversation of abortion and everything else. And it's just an observation that our national charter is basically ignored. There's numerous principles. I think it's over two dozen principles in the declaration, and they're basically ignored. Our national charter is basically mostly ignored in the discussion. And even Roe versus Wade, it ignores the basic principles, human life. Mm-hmm. We have the right to life. And instead focuses on the 14th Amendment, which is basically about the rights of former slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like for, this is not a criticism, it's just an observation that we need to focus more on our national charter and the principles in these discussions, even the presidential debates.
Yes.
But specifically the right to life, and you mentioned the life march and so forth, but I just wanted to point that out, that the Constitution is not our charter. The Declaration is.
That's so true, because when you start a business or even a nonprofit, you have your founding, you have your start and your principles and your vision and your mission and all of those things. And then, like you said, how you're going to implement that is, you know, your policies and how you're going to implement their policies. Thank you for keeping us on track and keeping the focus where it needs to be. And I've got in my hand my Declaration of Independence and my Constitution. And I think that I really think as we continue on, we'll dig into this, Ray. Thank you for your time today. You have a wonderful day, okay? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you, Dave, for joining the conversation today.
Pleasure.
We'll have you back soon, and we'll go 2 hours down the road, all right?
There we go.
Can you handle it, you think?
Let's do it.
All right. We're having a wonderful day today on this Wednesday, encouraging you to tune in tomorrow morning. We'll go for 2 hours. This 1 hour just goes way too fast. We'll get into more calls tomorrow and more interaction. Thank you, my friend, for tuning in. Remember, over, under, around, or through, you're an overcomer. Take care.